This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Coming out of my cage and I've been doing just fine. Gotta be down because I want it all. It started out with a kiss, how did it end up like this? It was only a kiss, it was only a kiss. Now I'm falling asleep.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Sports Saturday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Danny Klingscale in Wichita, Kansas, where today it'll be the Kansas Jayhawks taking on the team from just outside New York, Seton Hall, as they are a New Jersey squad. Kansas a 4-5 point favorite in that game, and we'll have a whole lot about that game and a whole lot about other things as well. And if you'd like to work in a phone call, that'd be great too. We're here for an hour, and then we start our NCAA Tournament Day coverage with Inside the NCAA Tournament from Westwood One at 10 o'clock. And of course, we'll have Kansas coverage this afternoon as well. All kinds of pre- and post-game coverage for you right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And on this Saturday morning, it's time for me to say, never say never. I was one person who, amidst people always saying, well, sooner or later, 16 seed's going to be to one, I always said it would never happen, and that it would never happen. And the reason I said it would never happen is because the way they had set up the 16s versus the ones, usually the winner of the conferences that are the very worst in all of college basketball squared off against the number one seeds, and those worst conference representatives usually were teams that did not win their regular season. They just made a nice run in the postseason tournament and became the representative and squared off against a one. There are some exceptions to that. Penn was an exception to that. They gave Kansas a run for a little while, but you saw what you usually see in a game against a one seed. Kansas eventually took hold of the game and won fairly comfortably, although Penn gave a good showing in that game. Well, the team that finally did it last night was the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, who indeed fit the description that I said before. They were a team from a not very well-respected conference. In this particular case, it was the America East, I believe, is the name of the conference they're from. They were not the champions of the America East Conference during the course of the regular season. Vermont was. They went to Vermont and beat them. And then they took out the University of Virginia, and when it finally happened, it wasn't close. A start-to-finish alley-whipping of the Cavaliers, 74-54, and it resonates here in our part of the country because, lo and behold, the Kansas State Wildcats advanced to the round of 32 for the first time in their Bruce Weber history. And what do they get? The 16 seed, not the one, and a very good chance to advance, you would think. But with that comes some pressure for Kansas State, ironically enough, because you go out and you beat Creighton, which the Cats did, and they played very well doing it, pretty much completely controlled the game. Very satisfying game on multiple levels, including the fact that they made Marcus Foster look like about as bad a player as you can be. He scored 5 points in the game, barely could hit a field goal, and K-State, you kept waiting for Creighton maybe to make a move in the game. They couldn't do it, and then the Cats eventually just completely put them away, built up a very big lead, and end up winning by 10 points. But now they take on UMBC. That game tomorrow at 7:45 Eastern, 6:45. I'm trying to look at my ESPN bracket and see if these times are Eastern or Central, and it does not indicate. So I'll be able to figure this out quickly enough. All I have to do is look at the KU game. They're Eastern time, so it'll be 6:45 Central time as Kansas State and UMBC. So that was the good part of the day locally. Kansas State wins. They get UMBC. The bad part of the day locally, no question about it, the Missouri Tigers, an incredibly disappointing 67-54 loss to Florida State. They get down by 22 at the half, make a really spirited run to draw within six, but they weren't really in the game for very long as that lead expanded back out. And Florida State beats Missouri 67-54. The 54, certainly the problem in that one, as Michael Porter Jr. did score some points but took a lot of shots to do it. And Missouri looked terrible offensively with him in the lineup in both of the games he played. And I think it serves a lesson. 913-3810-810 is the phone number if you want this program to be about you a little bit more than just me and Bill Self and Bruce Weber and Conzo Martin and Michael Porter Jr. Is that I think we understood less, and I'll put many others in a category a little more severely than me, since I have to take all the shame of saying that never, ever, ever would a 16 seed beat a 1. I think a lot of people felt like when Michael Porter Jr. was cleared that it was just a matter of, okay, he's cleared for basketball activities. He should be ready to go in, 3-4 days. Well, it turns out that in 3 or 4 weeks, he wasn't even close to being a high-level basketball player capable of doing the things that he once did. I guess you could say that, if you wanted to, that clearing him or saying he was cleared was the wrong thing to do, or using the phrase cleared was inaccurate because he certainly didn't look anything like a high-level, top-of-the-NBA draft type of player. But while he professed himself to be 65%, if that is true, then I guess you can also say that he must be one incredible talent because it wasn't like he didn't see anything at all out of the guy. But we are talking about playing basketball at the very highest level for someone of his age. And that means in the world. And if you're going to do something the best you can in the world at the highest level, that being merely cleared medically to be able to do it and actually training and practicing and getting to the point where you could do it effectively is impossible. I think Michael Porter Jr. just goes and shows that. Either that or he's not as good as touted, and I don't believe that for a second. So I think that that's really a very interesting thing. And what it raises a question of is Michael Porter Jr. was sort of put in control of whether he was going to play or not play, which is fair. And what he ended up saying, especially when they lost Van Leer and their rotation was cut, was that he said, I'm willing to come back and try and help the team, and so on and so forth. And what Conzo Martin did was decide that Michael Porter was going to come back, and he was going to come back and be the man. And maybe that was the biggest mistake, because Missouri really looked terrible in the 2 games that they played with Michael Porter Jr. And what I thought was comical, and what many thought was comical, was the assertion that putting Michael Porter Jr. into the mix again could create a problem with the chemistry that Missouri had developed in playing good basketball down the stretch. I think I, and many people, thought that that was just silly. If you've got a player who's that talented, you just put him in there and all it can do is help. And it absolutely didn't help in any way, shape, or form. They looked awful. And now Michael Porter Jr., despite any, I think, silly speculation, is going to go to the NBA, and his Missouri career will have been substance, 2 games, 2 losses, and complete disappointment. The only good thing that could come out of this for Missouri is the fact that he 2%, 3%, 4% could feel so empty about the fact that he came back, he didn't do anything to help Missouri, which is his lifelong team, his family's invested in the program, his brother plays on the team, that somehow that could coax him into coming back for a second year. I don't believe it for a second, but that's about the only good thing that could come out of that. So a great day for Kansas State, a disappointing day for Missouri, a day of preparation for Kansas, and their own injury situation seems to be much more promising. While Kansas State went out and won their game impressively from start to finish, just what really completely controlling Creighton without their best player, Dean Wade, Kansas played and won their game without one of their best players, and Udoka Azubuike. And he practiced yesterday, and the prognosis for him looks promising heading into game 2. The difference, you might say, between Michael Porter Jr., Udoka Azubuike. Azubuike is going to be nowhere near 100%, but he played basketball all season long. So that's a big, big difference. Lots of things on the table. We'll hear from lots of the people who are involved with the day of basketball, the day yesterday, the day coming up today. Let's head to the phone lines before we take an initial break. And Mike is up. Mike, you're on Sports Saturday. Go right ahead.
Well, top of the morning to you, my friend.
Top of the morning to you. It's St. Patrick's Day. I forgot. Yeah, thank you for saying top of the morning because it reminded me it's St. Patrick's Day, which is never really on my radar in any way, shape, or form, even though I have quite a bit of Irish blood. But anyway, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Well, thanks. We'll have to send you over some Lucky Charms, I guess.
Okay.
Hey, I got a quick question for you. I've been in the movie the last couple of days, so I don't have access to my computer or anything. And just real quick, I had a vision of Jim Nabors singing Carry Me Back to Old Virginia. But I'm wondering, what is the mascot for you in B.C.? The
Terriers.
Terrier, you had to look it up for a second, it looked like, huh?
No, I had to. I just thought of it. I couldn't look it up that fast. My computer doesn't work that fast. Yes, they're the Terriers.
Okay, buddy. Well, have a great day today. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Have a good one. Bye.
A mascot fan, clearly. And I have no idea why Maryland Baltimore County would be the Terriers. I don't know the derivation of it. Maybe I'll look it up during the first break. But the Terriers bit into the University of Virginia and didn't let go for a 74-54 win. By the way, when I was out watching games last night at a local establishment, there was a Michigan fan. Michigan will play today after the Kansas game. And the Michigan fan had traveled to Wichita to watch his team play. He was there with his wife sitting at the bar. And at his feet was what looked like some kind of a, I don't think it was a pit bull, but it was a bulldog of some sort with a Michigan sweater. And it was the darling of the bar, to say the least. Rocco, the bulldog, was ruling the bar. Everybody loved Rocco, who really looked like he'd had about 10 beers, to be honest, because he didn't do anything except lay there. But he was a cute dog, and he had a big M sweater on his back, and everybody came up and petted him, and he seemed like a happy, content, but lazy dog last night. Well, nobody's going to be lazy today, be it the coaches, the players, and the participants in the second round of the NCAA tournament, which is now on. There is not, as you heard on SportsCenter, one single perfect bracket. That is not surprising. That means that Warren Buffett, none of his employees, can win $1 million. They can only win $250,000 for having the best bracket and that he has up for grabs. And I don't think actually the UMBC upset only destroys brackets of those who actually thought Virginia was going to make a run to the Final Four NCAA championship. And I don't think there are that many people who really thought that. And I may pull my bracket out, but this year I bet I have a good bracket. I haven't even looked at it yet after the first round. I bet it's good because this year, for the first year, Todd Lebo decided not to do our station bracket challenge. So this bracket could garner me absolutely no payback. So in that case, I would imagine it's going to be a good bracket because I can't win anything. 913-3810-810. Hear from Bill Self, Kevin Willard, Bruce Weber, Michael Porter Jr., and you on Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Danny Klinkscale with you from Wichita, Kansas. Look out the window here and see if I can catch a tree or something to see what the wind's doing today. The wind was blowing so hard yesterday that I think if they were playing a PGA Tour event here, they would have had to stop play on a beautiful sunny day because the wind was blowing so hard. When I went to leave the arena yesterday during Between the Lines, came back to my hotel room and did the back part of the show there, it took me and two other people to open the door to the Intrust Bank Arena, because that door was facing to the south where the wind was coming from, and that's how hard it was blowing. It had to be gusting over 40 miles an hour. No sweat. then the shuttle van came, and the door was open to the passenger side, and that door also opened with the south wind blowing at the door, the open door, and I almost couldn't get the door shut. It took me two tries to get the door shut. So, extremely windy day, although beautiful sunshine. Hoping for a little better today on St. Patrick's Day. Somebody yesterday in my travels, I think a local person, commented to another person, not me, that the Wichita St. Patrick's Day parade is one of the biggest in the nation and bigger than the one in Chicago. I call BS on that, but that was stated by someone anyway. And Wichita is doing a very good job here of hosting this particular sub-regional, first and second round site, whatever you want to call it. And they really are putting out an effort, and I think that's one good thing about cities that perhaps have a bad reputation, like Wichita, which certainly does. And I think they try harder. And they bust over school kids the other day, about 3,000 or 4,000 of them, to make the atmosphere at the practices better. And the fans turned out in huge numbers themselves. It was a disappointing day yesterday for sure here in Wichita because the Shockers lost their game and they're out in the first round as a 4 seed. So interesting times at the NCAA basketball tournament. 913-3810-810. In particular, I would like to maybe hear from a K-State fan or two as we move along in this hour about what last night meant to you, if you are somebody who is not in the Bruce Weber enthusiasm camp. I think it's got to change your opinion a little bit. They went to war against a Creighton team that I certainly thought was going to beat K-State, even with Dean Wade, and then without him, they went out and won, and they looked like clearly the better team, and that's a lot of coaching, and they got great performances from people who hardly even play, usually. They looked like the better coach team. Now, if you are not somebody who's fired up about Bruce Weber, then the next round certainly can provide you with some real ammunition because now you're supposed to win. Now you are supposed to beat UMBC and then get a date with perhaps the University of Kentucky in Atlanta, Georgia. Interesting. Interesting. Tommy Moe's on the line. Always good to hear from him. He must be up early on this St. Patrick's Day. Tommy?
Yes, I'm not. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Does St. Patrick's Day provide more business for you?
Oh, yeah. There's a few more idiots out there doing silly things.
Right. I would think so.
As we speak, I'm going to the Jackson County Detention Center.
That's what I thought that might be happening right now. Although, working at 9 in the morning is a little early. For many people, it's not.
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock in the world somewhere, Danny, as we say people start drinking beer. So, hey, why not? Yeah,
exactly.
Speaking of drinking beer, you think somebody was sitting at a bar either in Kansas City or throughout the country yesterday on their fifth, Red Bull and vodka, and said, "UMKC is winning a basketball game." Do you think that happened anywhere?
It would have to be in Kansas City because elsewhere they wouldn't even know what UMKC is. So yeah, maybe it happened. I don't know. That would have been good, Tommy. While I have you, that's an interesting first point, and I'll let you make any others you want. I want to ask you as somebody who coaches elite athletes. When you heard that Michael Porter Jr. had been cleared for basketball activity, and much of the narrative, and I give credit to people who actually play the game, like John Sunvold, who said, he's not going to be ready to roll for at least 3 weeks, whereas somebody like, many people said, he'd just take a practice or two and he'll be ready to roll. What was your thought at that point in time?
Well, not seeing him practice, that's the key. When an athlete gets injured, it's kind of a ramp-up process, so to speak. You do a practice. Like when a guy pulls a hamstring, it's about a three-week process. This is a back injury. It's probably 2 to 3 times worse. The healing period was 2 to 3 months, not 2 to 3 weeks. So obviously his activity prior to actually practicing basketball to me was probably a bare minimum, because to watch him play last night, he wasn't ready to play, and that surprised me. But because it surprised me, because he was an elite athlete. Elite athletes usually bounce back from injuries quicker than you and I, you know. So I was expecting a little more, but there in the second half when he was just dead, he made one horrible pass, just threw it to the other team. And I go, my God, he must have not been able to do anything in November, December, and January other than maybe just stand by maybe January and shoot a basketball. No conditioning. Right. There was no, like I said, nothing to lead up to basketball activity. I guess his first basketball activity was, so to speak, basketball activity. And no, you know, hey, let's run lines for the month of January. Let's get conditioning down first, and then we'll get in basketball conditioning second. So that's what I think happened. I don't think he did anything running. You know, it might have been able to lift, but, you know, he can't lift much of your upper body or lower body with a back injury. So his just activity, any physical activity he may or may have done, was a bare minimum before he got cleared to play basketball.
Right, I agree. And what I think it also shows that, you know, be it basketball, baseball, maybe not football, golf, things like that, these are sports that require skills, not just athleticism. You coach track, if an athlete just, I'm not demeaning it, but if they have to go out and run a 400, that's what they have to do. They don't have to run a 400 and stop and shoot free throws and, you know, pass the ball and do all that other stuff. They just have to run. And so that I think is the difference, and maybe the thing that people diminished a little bit about his return, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, you could see there was a couple times the skill was there, but so to speak, the will wasn't. And I'm not saying he didn't try or anything.
Right.
He didn't seem very, to use a Seren Petro word, bouncy. And I think that's not the kind of player that he is. He's not a Kevin Garnett. He's kind of a glider. That's how he plays to me, the way his style is, kind of glides through in and out of traffic. And he's not going to sit there and, you know, take off from the free throw line extended and slam dunk on anybody. He may be able to do that, but that's not part of his game. And he just, around the rim, he just didn't have the bounce to just jump up and either dunk the ball or shoot a two or three footer before anybody else could get off the ground. And I don't know, that could be part of his conditioning, but I was just surprised by his lack of just, I guess it was just overall basketball. I just want to say bounce. He didn't seem, whether it was in shape or what, he just didn't seem like those months of November, December, and January that he was able to do anything, whether it was, you know, basketball related or anything related. It just seems like he just didn't have any, like I said, anything. There was nothing in the tank. And it seemed like early on there was nothing in the tank. He got a shot blocked once or twice, and it just, his explosion was not there.
That was the word I was going to use. And I think in the end, I'd be curious, and you're a Missouri fan, so, and, you know, in the article, in the game article in the Star, apparently some fan in the stands yelled, "Go Pro." That person must have had 5 or 8 or 11 beers by then, I would hope, to have that stupid reaction. But I would think that this has to raise some doubts. You know, that was one reason why he probably considered not playing. And I guess to his credit, he decided that this would be good for the team. I think this whole situation, no matter what the reasons or anything else, ends up being mishandled, because they didn't just ease him in. They said, hey, Michael Porter, you're going to be Michael Porter Jr. Now, maybe he's just a guy who was not going to accept the fact that maybe he just had to facilitate things or do things like that, because they tried to make him be the lead dog, and Missouri just looked awful both games with him in the lineup.
Yeah, he didn't have Jordan Barnett last night, and he had to come in and walk in. I mean, he did score a backdoor bucket. But, yeah, I think, well, you know, to look at that team, who else is – I mean, Robertson is the best player on the floor for them. But other than that, who else is going to score for them? Tillman, That guy regressed in the last month. That guy came in. I remember when they played Missouri, KU. I said, oh, this guy looks like he can play a little. And he had maybe, I don't even want to say flashes this year, maybe a flash or two this year. And, you know, hell, he's going to get his third foul by the 12-minute mark of the first half. He's going to get his fourth foul by the, you know, the 11 mark of the second half, so he doesn't get to play. But that guy did not get any better, and that's on the coaching staff. And you got to teach the guy not to foul. You can coach a guy like that. Look at Doak, Azubuike. That guy was getting in foul trouble a lot early in the season. He was coached not to make silly fouls, and he stopped doing it. And now, albeit his injury has happened, but that guy would – it didn't seem like he got in foul trouble as early in games as he did early in the season. But Tillman, that guy regressed. He didn't get any better, and he was – talk about a non-factor. Jonte Porter couldn't make his three-point – his patent three-point shot last night. That's part of his game. Tillman's game, I don't know what his game is anymore because he doesn't have one.
Yeah, I agree with that. It did seem like Tillman had made a little bit of progress in February, and then he seemed to regress again when it came tournament time. So that is certainly another factor. I mean, you can't go out and score 54 points and expect to win. So in the end, I think just before I let you go, I think everything was really positive for Konzo Martin, but this whole last couple of weeks, I think, probably puts a little asterisk on all the good things that happened this year, don't you think?
Yeah, it puts an asterisk, but there was no right or wrong side with Michael Porter coming back. He came back at a weird time of the season. He looks good, and if he comes back, in some eyes looks bad, in some eyes there was kind of, like you said, there was a no-win situation. The family is sitting there on the bench, behind the bench. There's pressure on them. Columbia is a small community, but there's people that talk. There's people, you know, they felt the pressure. All their kids go to school there. So I feel sorry. The whole situation, the coaching staff, the head coach, Martin, Konzo Martin, and the dad and the mom, they were in a no-win situation. If he's good enough, go pro. If his younger brother's good enough, go make the money, enjoy life. That's what it's about. So if they come back, good for them. But it was just, there was nothing great. Nothing good could happen.
Right. Thanks a lot, Tommy. Go get somebody out of jail.
That's where I'm headed, guys. Thank you, Danny.
Right. All right. That's Tommy Moe. And the joy of having email and text and things like that is that people can help me out. Off the top of my head, I thought it was the Terriers. It's not. It's the Retrievers, of course. The Retrievers, and I still don't know why they were the Retrievers or the Terriers, but UMBC is the Retrievers. Two emailers. Thank you, Tom, and unnamed other person who just, his email came in by phone with no name attached. So thank you very much for that. And who did you say was online? Rick, you're up next on Sports Saturday.
Hey, Danny, thanks for taking the call. Hey, I just had one comment on the Michael Porter deal. I don't know how you looked at it. It just seemed like they didn't have any team chemistry at all when he started playing with them. And I noticed one point in the first half last night, somebody had made kind of a bad pass to him, and it went off his hands and went out of bounds. And he turned and stared at I don't remember who threw the pass, just stared at him and kind of barked at him. And I thought, well, you know, you're just coming back into the fray, and these guys have been playing all year. I didn't think it was kind of his situation to step up and do that. But I'll listen to you off the air and see what your comment is, see if you noticed that during the game.
Oh, I did not notice that particular thing, but, yeah, I mean, I think if a guy's used to being the best player, used to being the leader, you know, he was around these guys before he finally decided to pull the plug and they, you know, and he, you know, aggravated what had been a lingering back problem. He probably was that during the run-up to the season. And, you know, so I guess that's a little bit natural. It's not good. And however you want to read it, body language, whatever, there wasn't much chemistry or basketball chemistry. I think the guys liked him and respected him and wanted him to be the player that they thought he could be. But I don't think there was any animosity or anything like that. It just didn't work basketball-wise. Bruce is next on Sports Saturday. Hello, Bruce.
So good to talk to you. I appreciate all your work. You guys are awesome. Wanted to just say, I just felt like, couldn't have been a worse time that they brought him back. You know, if they'd have brought him back when they very first started kind of releasing those rumors, you know, 5 or 6 games maybe left, or a few games left before the SEC tournament or something like that, maybe we'd have had a chance to see how out of shape and how out of sync it was going to cause the team to play, not bring him back at all and just let the team go on what they had done, you know, on their own merits this year. Conzo or whoever makes that decision, I'm disappointed in the decision. And then especially after they saw him play the first game to allow him to play as many minutes as they did last night. And the pressure you talked about with the family sitting there behind the bench and, you know, a guy that's a lottery pick and stuff, it's way over my head. I'll admit that. But I was just pretty disappointed and thought it was pretty bad timing to have him in there. I would have loved to see him play all year, trust me. And but I felt bad that when he was playing, I didn't think he helped the team.
Well, I think I thanks very much for the call. I think I do
you're,
agree
you're
with
welcome,
that.
Dan.
And there wasn't, it ended up being a sort of a no-win situation. Missouri was playing. That's the thing that made it especially difficult. Is Missouri had really played well down the stretch of the season. They'd hit a flat spot a little bit earlier and lost those 3 games in a row, and then they had found a good form. And maybe if Van Leer, and Michael Porter Jr. indicated this, if Van Leer hadn't got hurt, he may not have come back. But, you know, in the end, you know, I think we are obviously also judging on a extremely high curve. I mean, the guy did get 16 points and 10 rebounds and 3 steals in the game. But, you know, it was 4 for 12, and he made his free throws, didn't make his 3-pointers, 1 for 4, and he did have 3 turnovers. So it was a mixed bag, but a completely compromised player in 28 minutes got a double-double, and we kind of look at it as a failure, which it was team-wise. I mean, they scored 54 points, and they didn't look very good at all, and they get blown out of the game early and only made one little surge back into it. So difficult situation, really difficult to analyze. You can see from what I just said that if the guy wants to go and he can provide that even as a compromised player, it's almost impossible to not play him. But the problem was the other people and what his presence caused them not to do. I mean, Jordan Geist had been a pretty good player for them, and he was completely ineffective in the game. He only had 4 points, 1 for 6 shooting. Tillman was just, you know, he was early season Tillman. 12 minutes, fouled out, 2 points. Not good at all. But Jonte Porter was the one who seemed to really be most adversely affected. His shooting, he did do some other things well, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. So difficult situation, surely disappointing. Kurt is next. Hello, Kurt, before we take a timeout.
Hey, guys, what's up? I have no dog in the fight. I'm not a supporter of MU or KU, but just seeing that the fact that he actually came out and played when, I mean, everyone was saying that the only thing that could happen would be bad on his NBA stock, to me, it just showed the kid loves basketball. So I admire him for coming out because he didn't have to do it. He could have stayed, you know, on the sideline and got picked in, you know, the top 5, and now maybe he's going to go a little lower. But at the end of the game, I just saw the highlights this morning. He's crying and the tears and stuff. It shows me that he loves basketball. Unlike, you know, someone commented this morning, the Arizona players who I don't think they even got out of the locker room before they declared for the draft. So I respect the kid for coming out and playing. Like you just said, too, I think they needed bodies. I mean, they didn't have a lot of people. So he kind of probably sacrificed, you know, future earnings in the NBA, which is a huge thing for people to come out and to try and help his team. And it didn't work out. I mean, I watched the game and it didn't look like it was flowing at all, but at least the kid tried and, you know, tried to do what he could for his team. A lot of people are forgetting that and thinking that, you know, he played bad, but he did what he could. So that's my thought.
Thank you. I think that's right. Thanks a lot for the call. That we have I think he truly has affection for Missouri, and he does like playing basketball, obviously. I mean, people who play basketball at this level, I mean, I'm not saying it's not like any other sport, but they play it all the time. It's really, because it's the kind of thing you can do by yourself, and, you know, you're not going to, if you can't practice golf for 10 hours a day. You need someone to help you out to go practice playing baseball or something like that. But you can shoot baskets until, the cows come home. And that's what people do. And so he loves the game, and he did show a commitment to Missouri, and a completely difficult situation to analyze. I'm not going to be critical, but if you wanted to be, you'd have to say that the situation by all parties could have been read differently because he clearly wasn't ready to play at the level that he can. Sports Saturday continues after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Just a few minutes left, and then off to Westwood One for their coverage of the NCAA tournament. And Kansas coverage comes your way starting at 4:30 right here on Sports Radio 810. And let's hear right now from the man of the hour who's been the subject of all the calls and talk today, and that's Michael Porter Jr. After his game, a double-double, but volume shooting and a poor performance chemistry-wise and offensively by the team in total. And so 0-2 as a Missouri Tiger. Here's Michael Porter Jr.
I'm just hurting for the team. I'm hurting for the seniors. Not just I don't know how to put the feeling into words, but it's a feeling I don't want to feel again. I feel like I was second-guessing myself, and that was hard for me. It was really frustrating at times. But I honestly did the best I could do at this point. I did what I could do. That's it. We played our butts off. We cut it to six, and we started getting tired, and they were hitting shots. I missed a couple easy ones at the basket, and they were back up 15. And we just look back on that. We were right there, and it's tough. It's tough, man. But they played a great game, and, we can't get it back now. There's a lot of guys trying to get their own shots off. We didn't move enough. And we were really missing Jordan Barnett tonight. I didn't help. I mean, we lost both games I played, so I don't feel like I helped the team, but I'm not looking back on it now, regretting that I came back. Next time I step on a basketball court, it's not going to be like this. I can promise you that.
Very interesting, and in all likelihood, that will be in an NBA uniform. Now, I think the two games that were played and the way they went and the way he played certainly maybe raise questions as to whether he – I still think he's going to go pro. I 98% thinks he's still going to go pro. I general managers were polled before he came back and said if he came back and even looked shaky that it wouldn't hurt his – draft stock. I don't think it could have helped it. I think he probably, if he'd come out and been, gangbusters here and they made the Sweet 16 or something, I think it would have helped. But difficult situation for the Missouri Tigers. KU today, 6-10 for their matchup against Seton Hall. Didn't play their best game, certainly, against Penn. They'll need to be better today, I think. I think they will be better. Here's Bill Self yesterday after his press conference in the hallway talking about the matchup with the Seton Hall Pirates.
So you talked to your players about playing with a free mind and playing loose.
Yeah, we did a great job of that yesterday.
You've been in the game long enough. How do you coach with a free mind?
I think players can feed off the coaches. I think I'm loose all the time, and I'm sure that I don't give that impression to our players all the time. But I think this is the time for coaches to enjoy it as well. Players, dream of playing in the tournament, and I told the guys, hey, let's not have any what-ifs. Let it go. And And I think coaches should do the same thing as well. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, the 116 game, you know, that's not the easiest game to coach in sometimes when you're down 21-11 against a team that you know can beat you. But I was proud of our guys. I thought they played pretty loose the second half, and I thought they reacted to the situation pretty favorably.
What did Doak show you at practice today?
He showed me he's ready to go. You know, he's not going to be ready to go to start and play 30 minutes, but he's ready to go. He may can only go 3 minutes at a time because of conditioning, but I thought he looked good, and we stressed it. You know, we threw him lobs. We did a lot of things to make him go get it, to get some confidence, and he did a good job with that. You know, he's not 100% by any stretch, but I think we can put him out there for 15 minutes or so tomorrow.
What about Seton Hall's bigs that he has to go against? Is he going to be vital?
I think they all will, though. You know, if we can play him 15 minutes, that's still 25 minutes he's not in there. So I think all of them are going to be vital without question. And, you know, Delgado is a different dude. We played against some good bigs this year, but we haven't played against anybody that's a combination of a good big. That's the force and the score and the rebounder that he is and the passer. I mean, he's a complete player. So we'll have our hands full with whoever's guarding him.
Did you feel, besides Devontae, that the guys weren't playing with a free mind at the outset of the game yesterday?
Well, I didn't think anybody did. Devontae, how many bunnies did he miss early? I mean, but isn't that normal when you care about something so much to maybe be a little bit stressed early on? I can't imagine that you know, even professional golfers don't get butterflies on the first tee on Thursday. So I don't think that's unusual. And when you know the other team's playing with house money, it always makes it sometimes a little tougher. But I thought they responded pretty well. And that wasn't a 16-point game by any stretch. But for us to hold them to 60 and not have Doak, I would tell you before the game we would have had to play very well to do that.
Seton Hall scored season high in points yesterday. How locked in do you guys have to be defensively tomorrow?
Well, we have to be locked in. We need to make somebody play poor, as opposed to us trying to just play better than them. I mean, we need to make somebody play bad. And they're a very difficult team to do that because they can score from so many spots. But we got to be locked in. But we really got to be locked in on the boards. I mean, they're a terrific rebounding team, and that's something that we obviously have labored in, you know, a good portion of the season.
Their guys have played together a ton. Yeah. They played. Does that show when you watch them?
You know, I've only studied them this week, but I think those guys have been through a lot together. And usually when you've been through a lot together, it brings you closer, and there's more trust, and you can certainly tell that these guys, you know, like playing with each other. So, as far as, you know, one guy knowing that every time he bounces at this direction on this particular play, that this is what he's looking for with this guy, I don't know that stuff. But trust me, they do. And just like some of our guys do as well. And there is advantage to having guys that play together, you know, 100, 120 games.
Bill Self, after yesterday's practice and walkthrough, and indicated as well as Udoka Azubuike, played about 85% of the practice and figured that he's good for maybe 15 to 20 minutes. I guess I'm going to lean, I've said this for the last day and a half since I watched the game between Seton Hall and North Carolina State. I don't have a great feel for Seton Hall yet. The game ended up being scrambly in the second half because North Carolina State was pressing to come back in the game and made it a complete open floor game. So I guess if you're asking me, pinning me down, I think it's going to be a comfortable Kansas win in this particular game. But this Kansas team has been so schizophrenic. It's difficult to tell exactly what will go on. It's a veteran team of guys who've played together in Seton Hall for a long, long time. We'll see how it plays out. Our coverage starts at 4:30 today. Westwood One's coverage of the NCAA basketball tournament comes up next with their pregame show. 8 basketball games today on Westwood One and Sports Radio 810 WHB. Have a great St. Patrick's Day.